Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
City sidewalks, busy sidewalks, dressed in holiday style. In the air, there's a feeling of Christmas.
The day after Christmas. Hi, everybody.
Children laughing.
Lou Manfredini, House Smarts Radio, this hour of our show. Sponsored by Dykstra Home Services. 877-213-4LOU. 877-213-4568. What are you looking at me like that for?
Good morning.
Morning. How are you? And Merry Christmas to you. The day after. Good morning,
and to you and to
Mr. Schwani. Nice to have you with us this morning.
Happy day after Christmas to you both. Yes. Good morning,
Joe Brand. Happy day
Merry
after
Christmas.
Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas. Merry day after Christmas to all.
Merry Christmas, yo! Wonderful building alone. I had a revelation. I mentioned this earlier to Lindsay today, and I'll share it with you as well, is that, you know, at our house, the movie It's a Wonderful Life is on a loop on Christmas Day. That is the Manfredini.
I don't doubt that.
Yeah. It's the Manfredini Christmas movie, and it's so funny because at one point in the middle of the day, I had stopped when we were, you know, getting stuff ready, and I had sat down for a minute just at one point, and later my daughter Carmen goes, "Did you end up crying at one point?" I go, "Yeah,
of course."
After all the years you see this movie, it never fails. Yeah,
there's just something about that movie. But then there was a realization, Schwani, that happened to me. There's a scene in the movie where after Peter Bailey dies, the board is meeting to decide what to do with the building and loan. And George is, you know, going to miss his train, and he was supposed to go to Europe, and the board is talking. You know, it's where he says, "Well, you're nothing but a warped, frustrated old man, Mr. Potter."
Yeah. Right?
The pivotal line in the movie.
Yeah.
And then they go back out into the office, and they're like, "Well, that's it. They're going to vote." You know, Uncle Billy says, "They're going to vote us out of business. You know, that's it. Career." And no, you know, what are they doing in there? "That's okay." He goes, I'll get a new job. I'm only 55. And then the lady goes, 56.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh my gosh, I'm as old as Uncle Billy. I've been watching this movie so long that now I'm as old as Uncle Billy.
Should we start calling you Uncle Billy?
Thanks. Easy.
Well, I first started watching this movie. I think I started watching this movie over 40 years ago.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a classic. And so, anyway, and then, you know, so what ends up happening at our house is that, you know, obviously it's very different, Christmas for all of us. I hope you guys had a nice Christmas. It was much smaller for us. But then by the end of the evening after... you're cleaned up or whatever, I will sit down at probably about 11 o'clock at night and watch the entire movie from front to back.
Okay, not just bits and pieces of it.
Nope.
Where you were in the room.
Sit
you
down,
watch
like,
the
that's
whole thing.
My thing. And normally there's aww, my kids will be with me and a couple of them there, and I look over there, all just lights out.
Yeah.
and I probably dozed every now and then, but I would wake back up and, you know, make sure that I was there.
Yeah.
We tried to get the girls to watch it this year, like the It's a Wonderful Life, but they're like, "I don't get why is it black? Why is it gray? Why is there no color in it?"
Yeah. Yeah.
Cuz it's such a, I just hope it's not lost in it. Right. You know, they want like Home Alone.
Well, and so the thing too, I'm so crazy about the movie, you know, that it's been such a part of my life that I've read a bunch of stuff about that movie, you know, about when they filmed the movie and everything. And, you know, they built this entire set, this city set, three blocks long, like when they're running up and down the street. You know that the movie won an Academy Award for special effects in the snow?
Wow.
So that snow that they created was like soap and water and stuff. And they, at the time, it was, no one had ever seen anything like it. And the other thing during that movie in L.A. where they were filming it, it was a heat wave. Like, L.A. was the hottest it had been, like, in the 90s. And so when you look closely at that meeting, like, when George is out of his mind, you know, running around in different places, he's, like, super sweaty, you know, which kind of adds to the whole thing. Like, he's crazy because he can't realize that he's not, you know, like he's never been born. But here they are in these wool suits doing these movies, right? And they, it's because it was so hot.
And it's 90 degrees.
And it's 90 degrees. Yeah. And then they had this snow that they were making that they needed to make look frozen, and they couldn't, they had to keep pumping more of it in there because it was melting so quickly. Isn't that amazing?
Oh, my God.
And then the other crazy thing I will tell you is, you know the famous scene after George Bailey gets married and they have the party, right? And Uncle Billy's all drunk, and he comes out, and he's like, oh, boy, my old building alone, and, you know, I would spit in Potter's eye. Remember he says all that?
Yeah,
And he turns around, and he says, where's his hat? And George is holding the hat, and he goes, where's my hat? And he's got it in his hand, and
which one is it?
It's the middle one.
The middle one.
And then he walks away, and I mean, in the right direction. He walks away, and you hear this huge crash, right? And he goes, I'm all right. That crash was not planned. It was somebody moving a cart.
Oh, they moved on
the
set?
The scene.
Oh, no way.
And the actors, because nobody said cut, just kept going, right? I mean, these are, you know, classically trained actors.
They're professionals.
Frank Capra fired that guy. Okay, the guy that dropped the cart, because they redid the scene.
Uh-huh.
But then when they went back to edit it all, they kept it in the movie, and they hired the guy back.
Because they liked the way it went.
Yeah.
Isn't that something?
I was going to say, did he get his job back?
Yeah, he got his job back.
Oh, I'm going to tell that story every time I watch it now.
Right, it's a great story.
You know, Lindsay, I hope, you know, you say your young ones aren't necessarily into it right now, but I hope they will remember, you know, watching it or watching part of it now. And some years to come, this will be a great memory for them, and they will get into the movie very much.
You're right. You know? And I have thought that, and I hope that. Also, Scrooge, like the old 1938 David David tried to put on it. It's just, you know.
I have that. I watch that. That's one of my holiday traditions. I watch that one.
Yeah, that's fun. That's fun. That is fun. Well, I mean, we are going to kiss goodbye to 2020, and we're going to move forward, and let's pray that, you know, 2021 is a much better year. Nice to have Dave with us this morning, and Joe, always nice. Bob, first.
And an early Happy New Year, folks.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. And Lindsay producing. Our phone number is 877-213-4LOU, 877-213-4568. We are going to be with you until 10 o'clock this morning. All we have to do is pick up the phone and give us a call. Let's go to the phone lines right now and talk with Marilyn, who's in Chicago. Hi, Marilyn. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Hi, Lou. I didn't expect to talk to you. I was talking to Lindsay.
Oh. Well,
how are you?
I'm doing well. How may I help you this morning?
Well, I was calling. She mentioned a lawyer last week, and I wanted the name of the lawyer.
Who mentioned a lawyer?
Lindsay
mentioned a lawyer.
Yeah.
Were you listening to a different show? What are you looking for?
There's a family dispute, and she mentioned a lawyer that handles that.
I think you might have her confused with somebody else. I don't remember her having a conversation about a lawyer on the air last year. I mean, it might be a different show, maybe somebody that sounded like Lindsay, but I think that perhaps it was somebody else that called. As far as where to find a lawyer, I mean, that's a tough one. I hate the family disputes and getting the lawyers involved because it can always cause a huge problem down the line. But if you can reconcile it without that, boy, that would be a lot better, because when the lawyers get involved, then everybody starts to get really nasty, and you just can't get anywhere. 877-213-4LOU is our phone number, 877-213-4568. Let's do this. We'll take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll get back to more of your phone calls. Don't go away.
Now back to Lou Manfredini and House Smarts Radio.
The snow is snowing.
Our next caller is going to get a House Smarts Radio hat sponsored by Cobblestone Remodeling, Chicagoland's premier design-build company. for kitchens, baths, additions, siding, and windows. Maybe you're working remotely, don't have enough room. Let Cobblestone Remodeling create the ideal workspace in your home. Visit cobblestoneremodeling.com or give them a call, 773-661-0606. We're going to send that out to Bob in Chicago. Hey, Bob, good morning.
Good morning, Drew. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Merry Christmas to you.
You as well. How may I help you?
Yeah, I'm Bob. I live in Chicago on the northwest side of Jefferson Park. I have a heating furnace, and I woke up during the night, and it was cold in the house, so I went downstairs, and there's I think it's called a Byron heating unit. The name is Byron. Well, anyhow, there's a red light that flashes all the time. So I had someone come and look at it, but they think it was the igniter. So they checked it, and they said, no, it was not the igniter. It might be the circuit board. But, he told me how to light it manually. So every time I need heat, I have to go down there and light it with a lighter, and then they would run for maybe, I don't know, about an hour, but then I would have to go back upstairs and turn down the thermostat. I got it on maybe 65 or 68. What do you think, I'm asking your opinion, what do you think might be the problem there?
Bob, is this a boiler or is it a forced air heating system?
Forced air heating system.
Okay. All right. Now, the person that you had come and say, oh, it might be something with the board, what was the reason that they didn't repair it? Did they not have the board or they didn't, what was the reason they didn't do that?
Well, he was a friend of mine. I see.
Okay.
He said, this is what he said. He said, what if I do get it for you and it would be like maybe possibly $300 and I install it and that wasn't the problem?
Right. Okay. So a couple things. I mean, the thing is that you obviously need to get a good, not that your friend is not qualified, but if you get a company like, where are you, Bob, in Chicago? North side, south side? You said Jefferson Park?
Milwaukee and Lawrence area.
Okay, so the thing is this. Depending on the age of this unit, it could be an igniter. It could be a flame sensor. Okay, so there's a sensor in there that senses the flame, that if that's dirty, a lot of times that's one of the key elements of why a furnace isn't working, because that flame sensor is dirty or damaged or even broken, because over time it can become very brittle. Those would be the first things that you would check to see. Now, is it possible that it's an electronics board that's doing this? It is, but yeah, it would not be the first thing that I would check. And so, do you have the ability to hire a company to come out and take a look at this, or is it just a budget thing that you can't get a heating person to come out and take a look?
Well, I'm on Social Security.
I understand.
I don't know if that can come out. I'm going to give you free estimates.
Well, I mean, I think that if you're without heat, there would be a service call, or if this is a problem, it's not a smart thing to keep sticking keep relighting it and doing that whole process. My guess is that if you could hire a company and you could call them to see what a service call would be, it wouldn't be free. I mean, but they would come out and, if it was a flame sensor, this could be a $300 ticket, if not more, by the time they take it all apart and put it all in there. So it's not that it's an inexpensive service call whatsoever, but, it's cold. And, if the pipes freeze and we get more problems because you can't get that lit, it's going to cost you even more. And so this is something where you want to get ahead of it so that you're not spending more money down the line, because you just are trying to limp it along. I mean, that this is not the thing to do when the weather is as cold as it is right now. Bob, thanks so much for the phone call. 877-213-4LU is our number. This is Tony, who's in Melrose Park. Hi, Tony. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Well, thank you very much. I recognize your voice. I've been listening to it for years.
Thank you.
But I think you're going to advise me to call a furnace man.
Okay.
I wanted to, I've got a second furnace in a family room that's all fancy and looks like a fireplace. You go down at the bottom. I was going to press the button in, and I was going to light the pilot. It had gone out. But a few years back, I had done the same thing, and when I went to light the pilot, a big poof of flame came out, took my eyebrows off.
Oh, gosh.
And I don't know if I should try and attempt to light it again.
Okay, so it looks like a fireplace, and it's all, it's open, meaning there's no glass or anything over the top of it.
No, it's all closed off, and at the bottom, you drop the plate at the bottom where you can get up underneath there and adjust the flames, or if you want to relight a pilot light in my case. And I don't know, I'm going to go to Menards. I need one of those long-handled things where you can press the button and the flame will go on at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Mine ran out, so I have to go buy one. But right now, the family room, it has a separate furnace. The rest of the house has the other big furnace. So I wanted to heat the room up because it's getting quite cold in the family room.
Sure. Okay, but I'm just trying to understand the system. So you have a dial of some sort that you push in and you hold it and then you light the pilot light and then you wait a few seconds and then you release that, right? And then so normally under normal circumstances this pilot light is always on, correct?
Yes, but I thought I was going to, I went to visit my daughter, and I said, well, I don't need any heat back here. So not realizing it, mm-hmm. I turned it to off, the where it has a, you know, where mm-hmm. you turn to the red dot mm-hmm. down there, and you turn that little dial mm-hmm. to off.
Right, but
when I returned home, the family room was ice cold. I says, okay, all right, I'm going to try and light.
Okay.
So I don't know, Tony, if I should just call somebody in.
No. So here, let's try and help you through this. The reason I'm asking you all these questions is normally, other than when you went to your daughter's house, this pilot light has been on, no problem. It doesn't go out. And then when you go to turn the dial up, the thing kicks on, and under normal circumstances, it works fine. The thing where you talked about your eyebrows a couple years ago, that was when you were trying to light it, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So let's do this. Keep your eyebrows out of there. Push that button. Light, when you get the new lighter, go ahead and light it. Hold that button in for the count of 10 seconds until the thermocoupler gets warmed up, and then release it. Then just step away and turn the thing on and fire it up. If it works, no problem. Nice, clean burning. You don't smell anything or anything like that. You're good to go. And then when you turn it back down, leave the pilot light going. The reality of it is the pilot light's really use such a negligible amount of gas that based on the rest of your furnace and stuff, you'd really never know that it's running. And from a standpoint of in the middle of winter right now, just leave the pilot light going and use that heater when you need it, you know, appropriately. And, you know, you should be fine. Now, should that appliance be cleaned? You know, perhaps when you have the next furnace clean and check, when you have your furnace installed like that, you can talk to the HVAC technician to say, hey, can you clean this thermocoupler up for me a little bit and just make sure that it's all working fine and have that inspected? It may be a little bit extra charge, but they should be able to do that for you.
I messed up whenever I left to go to my daughter's. I went down underneath the bottom, and I thought that I was just putting it on pilot, and I was turning the heat off,
mm-hmm.
so I accidentally turned the gas off, apparently going to that pilot. So when I just went down there now, like I said, I was going to look at it and I was going to start up. I don't know why I blew in my face years ago. I should have just left it alone.
Turn the gas on, relight the pilot light. Just be careful lighting it, and I think you'll be okay.
I hope so. I'm going to go to Menards and get me one of those long-handed things so I can get up there and light it. I thought mine was going to work this morning, and it didn't.
All right, well, be careful and stay warm, and I'm sure it'll all work out for you. Thanks so much for the phone call. All right, you're listening to House Smarts Radio. Our phone number is 877-213-4LOU, 877-213-4568. We'll take a quick break.
Frosty the Snowman.
Welcome back.
He's a jolly, happy soul.
Yes, he is.
With a corncob pipe and a button nose and two eyes made out of coal.
877-2134-LOU.
Frosty the Snowman.
Hey, Joe Brand, are you around?
I'm always around, Lou.
So, you know, we talked about all the money that you guys raised for the Salvation Army, which is great, and then you ended up getting a handsome haircut. Was your wife happy with the pictures that you had the handsome haircut?
Yeah, the overall product, she was happy. She wasn't a fan of it at first, but yeah.
Right.
Salon Donato did a great job.
Did a nice job.
A lot of compliments, and I think I'm going to start sticking with this do maybe moving forward.
So in the end, you ended up getting a free haircut.
Yeah, pretty much. Yep. Well, and again, you know, we're touting the great city of Chicago for raising all this money, and David Hochberg sacrifices his whole head to dye red, and I'm like, you know what? I could probably do something to help out this cause. And so, yeah, ended up getting a haircut.
You're a giver. You're a giver,
Yeah,
Joe.
You know, I do
mean,
what
I
can.
I think that's what it is.
I do what I can, and it's not for me. It's for them, Lou. It's for them.
Well, that's very nice. Glad you had a nice Christmas. 877-2134-LOU. 877-213-4568. Let's talk to Barb, who's in Niles. Barb, good morning.
Good morning and happy holidays.
You as well. How may I help you?
I've got a second floor small walk-in shower. And I've had a shower surround liner in there for quite some time, and it's still under warranty. But the base of it, the adhesive has come away from part of the base. And so when you step on it, you could hear the popping. I've had the guy out, and he was thinking maybe removing the concrete floor pan underneath because he thinks maybe there's a crack or maybe it shifted. I don't think that sounds like a good idea. I just wanted to get your opinion.
Well, I mean, I think that there's a tub underneath there, correct? Or is it a shower base?
No, it's a shower base.
It's a shower base, and there's an acrylic liner over the existing shower base?
Correct.
Yeah. I mean, I think that...
But there's a big air pocket between the two.
Right. I think really the right way to try and do it from underneath, I think, would be a way more work than removing the surround and redoing the surround. I mean, if it's under warranty, then it's under warranty, and they got to do it the right way. I mean, if they go, you know, the issue there is going underneath it. Now all of a sudden we get into structural issues. I can't imagine that they want that headache. You know what I mean?
Right.
That makes no sense.
Well, what I thought he was saying is if he was removing it and then taking out the pan and then replacing it with just the liner.
Well,
that's what it sounded like to me. But
well, the liner would need...
Right.
No, I mean, if he was going to do that, then... Well, let me ask you this. It's a second floor bathroom, so he's going to cut open the ceiling to do all this?
No. I think he'd take out the surround.
Right.
But I think he's trying to do as
and
little
is he gonna,
removal.
Well, right, but if he's going to take out the surround and then put in a new shower base, like a solid base, you know, and they do make shower pans that are solid bases, meaning that, hey, we're just going to put in a real shower base here, not an overlay, and then we're going to put the surround back on. I'm fine with that, but just the acrylic liner is not going to be supportive. You can't do that at all. No way.
Great. Okay. I just wanted to get your opinion on that because it didn't sound sturdy from what he was saying, and I just wanted to get your view on it.
You got it.
Either that or just remold it, correct?
Correct. But we need a solid base to stand on. That's the key. And, you know... the surround has to come out to do all this. It all has to be done from the top.
Right.
No taking out the base or anything like that to get done that way. Just talk to them about that. Make sure they're doing it the right way. They don't want any headaches. They want to just get it done the right way. 877-213-4-LOU, 877-213-4568. This is Ted. Ted on the south side. Hey, Ted.
How goes it, Lou?
It's going great. How may I help you, sir?
I just have a question about my sump pump. if it gets down below, like, say, 26 or 25 degrees Fahrenheit, I have to go down to my crawl space and unplug my sump pump because the PVC pipes that feed out behind my house, they freeze up. And, like, last spring, remember there was a cold spell, and I called over someone from PermaSeal, mm-hmm. and it was rather expensive. And I'm wondering if there are any other alternative.
Okay, so your sump pump pipes go through the crawl, then they poke out of the house, and then what do they do? Go into the ground?
It goes, yeah, behind my house, underneath my deck. They feed out there. But like I said, like, you know, if it gets below like 27 or 26 degrees, then they freeze up.
Right.
And, order to prevent the sump pump from burning out, I just have to unplug it.
And does your sump pump where you live now, Ted, does it operate in the wintertime as well?
Well, that is when I have to unplug it. I mean, it operates. Yeah. The sump pump itself runs fine, but it's just that, you know, the pipes freeze up. I was just wondering,
correct,
is there any alternative?
Sure. Okay. So hold, I'm just trying to picture this. So when the pipe comes out under the deck, is there a pipe that lies on the ground, or does it go underground and then go to the backyard somewhere?
Oh, no, it's above ground. Yeah. PVC pipes.
The
yeah,
whole thing is
above
it.
Ground.
Okay. And, right. And is it not pitched properly? Because if it's pitched properly, it should drain. Okay.
That I'm not sure of.
Okay. So,
yeah.
And my other question is, how handy of a guy are you? Like, can I get you to go underneath this crawl space? Or underneath this deck? Or no?
Well, somewhat, yes.
Okay. So, if you don't want to hire PermaSeal, because this is probably what they were going to do. So, you got that pipe coming out of the wall, right? And then,
right.
And then does that pipe have a 90 degree that goes down?
That it does, yeah.
And then it goes down to the ground, and then does it do another 90 degree, and then there goes the pipes?
Yeah, it goes underneath my deck, and then there's like a 90 degree angle where it feeds out.
But you
yeah.
see the pipe the whole time, right?
I can, yes.
Okay, so you want to make sure those pipes are all pitched properly, meaning that it doesn't go up at all where it holds water. So you may have to put a little level, like a torpedo level or something on it, to make sure that it's pitched right. But at that first 90 degree that comes out of the house, okay, you could cut that off, and you take that 90 off, and you make that a T, not a 90.
Okay.
Now hold on. Then on that T, so the T is going to, it's going to come in, and then it's going to go down, connect to your pipe, and then there's going to be a part that's sticking up, looking up. And there, you're going to put in a thing called a Street 90 connector, and you're going to put that on there, you're going to glue it, and you're going to put another, like, foot of pipe on the end of that. The whole idea is that if the pipe freezes, like if you do the right pitching and everything, if the pipe freezes and the pump goes, it's just going to evacuate the water underneath the deck.
Right.
And then it shouldn't freeze.
Okay. Yeah, because, you know, my neighbors, they don't suffer the same consequences as I do.
Right.
I mean, it's just like, you know, I wonder why.
Well, it probably has everything to do with the pitch of those pipes. Now, I mean, this is all
okay.
something, somebody's got to go underneath there. And, you know, if PermaSeal is going to come out
right.
and fix that, they're going to send somebody under there. They're going to make sure this is all right. That whole T thing, they have like a proprietary fitting that goes there that's exactly designed to do this so that if it freezes, the sump pump still works. And, obviously that's not free, right? It's labor and parts
exactly.
and pieces.
Exactly. It was expensive, right?
but it's a lot less expensive than a flooded basement if it's freezing and that's a problem. So again, it's all based on your budget and what you can afford. But if you can do what I described, you could accomplish the same thing for a lot less money. You just got to do all the crawling around underneath there to get that work done. And, I wouldn't do it today because it's cold. Thanks so much for the phone call. Our phone number is 877-213-4LOU. 877-213-4568. Oh, by the way, next week, January 2nd, cock-a-doodle-doo. House Smarts Radio starts at 6 a.m. Are you going to be available, Lindsay?
I'm always available.
Okay, good. So put that down. If you really can't sleep and you want more House Smarts Radio, starting next week, it begins at 6 a.m. All right, we need to take a quick break, and we'll be back right after this. Welcome back. Lou Manfredini, House Smarts Radio. We do a lot of talking between the breaks and stuff. And do you listen to the show on the radio on your headphones? Because you just keep talking and Bob's telling us to stop
your
talking.
Show?
Yeah, this show.
Your show? Oh.
Sometimes. 877-213-4LOU. After 8 o'clock this morning, I've been thinking about... I heard something on the radio that had me start to think about, you know, things that we say. And I wanna expound upon that a little bit later on after. So stay tuned for that. Maybe Dave and Joe can chime in, maybe even you, Lindsay, a little bit later on. And we'll see where it goes. 877-213. You hate when I don't tell you these things. 2134 Lou is our number. This is Cynthia, who's in Chicago. Hi, Cynthia.
Hi, Lou. Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it. I need some advice.
Okay.
I have one bathroom in my house, and Christmas Eve, after everybody left, the bathroom sink clogged up and it won't go down.
Mm-hmm.
I've tried vinegar and baking soda. I've tried plunging. I tried InstaFlow. It's still clogged. I know on Yahoo I checked and it said something about CLR.
Mm-mm, no. Okay, hold on.
No.
Hold on. So this is a vanity sink.
Correct.
Okay. And when you do, you know the pop-up that when you can open and close the sink?
Yes, the puller.
I want you to take that out.
Take that out?
Right. So
you mean the
when you go
the part that okay.
So you know the stopper, the pop-up that if you were going to fill the sink with water, you'd pull that lever behind the faucet and then that pop-up goes out. Now, you probably cannot grab that and pull it out because there's a rod holding it in place.
Correct.
Okay.
Yes,
I see
that.
Under the sink, there's a little something you can grab with your fingers, and you're going to loosen that little nut where that rod goes in, and you're going to pull that rod out, and then you're going to pull the pop-up up.
Okay.
And when you do,
okay, I see that.
When you do that, there's probably going to be a bunch of hair and all kinds of stuff that you're not going to like to see on the end of that pop-up. But then I want you to put that rod back in and tighten that little nut back on again.
Okay.
No, wait.
Okay.
Hear me out. Now, when you did the InstaFlow, how did you use that product?
Well, it's those little crystals.
Right.
So I put it in the, you know, into the sink, and then I ran hot water down it and let it sit. And then I poured more hot water, I don't know, half hour later, I guess, and it still didn't go down.
Okay. So once you take that stopper out, I want you to put, you still have a little InstaFlow left?
Yes.
Okay. So put another half a cup down there. I want you to use boiling water.
Okay, I did use boiling water.
All right, and I want you to pour it over there, and I only want it to sit there for 90 seconds.
Oh, okay, 90 seconds, okay.
And so then put more hot water down it again and see if that clears. If that doesn't do it, based on you taking that stopper out, then we need a plumber because then the clog is the clog is probably in the wall.
Oh, okay. I see. Okay. Do you have a plumber in the Jefferson Park area, Chicago?
Well, I mean, that area, You know, there's a whole bunch of people you could call to do that. There's Plumbers,
okay.
Plumbers 911 is a place you can call. You can also call PermaSeal. They offer plumbing services that you could call to come out and do that as well. Some of the heating and cooling companies offer plumbing services as well that you could call.
Oh.
So those would be some options for you to consider.
Oh, okay. All right. I will give those a shot. First, I will try the InstaFlow again.
But the stopper has to come out.
The stopper has to come out. Okay. All right. I think I can get my son over here to do that.
Perfect. All right. Well, good luck.
Thank you so much, Luke.
I hope you can solve this problem on your own, which would be good. You can save a couple of bucks and go from there. 877-213-4-LOU. Let's go down to a Joliet where Jacob's on the line. Hey, Jacob. Good morning.
Hey, Lou, how's it going?
It's going great. How may I help you?
Hey, so I've been noticing over the last couple months that my hot water tank has been really bubbling. Like, it's knocking extremely loud. So being the little detective that I am, I went on Google and I found out, you know, it's probably a bunch of, you know, lime and calcium deposits in there, and I'm supposed to drain the tank and refill it. But I've never done this before, so what I'm picturing in my head is if I was looking into the water tank, that it would look like someone dropped like a, you know, 20 pounds of sand in there. I just don't know what I'm getting into, and if you could kind of give me some advice as to what I am actually getting into.
What's going on with the water heater? Is anything faulty or anything going wrong?
No. No, it's just, it's really, when I shower and it's refilling,
mm-hmm.
it's popping very loudly.
Okay, and how old is this unit?
Well, let's see, I bought the house 5 years ago, so it's at least, I'd say, 6-7 years old.
Okay. And you're not running out of hot water, like when you shower, right?
No.
Okay, so that's not
the
issue. Okay. So here's the thing with draining and cleaning water heaters. It's one of the things you have to do right away. And after you do it, like after 5 or 6 or 7 years, the benefits are limited. Because the whole idea is that, you know, if you can imagine, when you look at your water heater, there's a tank inside of it, right? That metal that you see on the outside
Correct.
Is not the tank. That's just like a housing for it. The burner is in the bottom of that tank, and that heats up, and that's where you can get calcium deposits and whatnot. And that popping sound can be either the calcium deposits, you know, kind of percolating when the burners are going off, or it could be a little rust on the outside of the tank that gets hot, and that's where the popping can happen as well.
Okay.
But if you want to try this, at the base of your water heater, there's a spigot.
Right.
It either has a valve, or it has something you have a screwdriver to loosen. Turn the water off. There's a valve that feeds to your water heater.
Correct.
Turn that off. Then your gas gauge, you know, that the where the gas line comes in, there's a thermostat there with different settings. There may be a setting that says vacation. Or you probably want to just turn it clockwise to go towards off, but you don't want to go all the way off. I just want you to go to like the last hash mark or click before off, just so we turn the temperature down. Now, you're going to open up that spigot, and water's just going to dribble out of there. A lot of it's not going to come out at first. Do you know what the pressure relief valve is?
Yeah.
Okay. That's got a little, it's got a little tab on it with a little metal tab. You're going to lift that up, and air is going to come into the tank to allow more water to come out.
Correct, yeah.
And you're just going to drain it. You're going to, I'm assuming you have a, is there a floor drain nearby?
Yeah, I have a clean out. The clean out's maybe like 6-7 feet away. So
okay, well, you can put a garden hose. You can put a garden hose on
there,
right?
Yeah.
And so then drain, you know, I don't know, 5 gallons out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Then, with that and that pressure relief valve, you want to articulate that a little bit. You know, you can leave it open for a little bit. Get about 5 gallons out, pop that close. Hopefully that seals, because we don't want that to leak. Then tighten the spigot back up with either the screwdriver or the valve, and then refill the tank and put the setting back to where you had it from at 120. That may get rid of some sediment, but if it's never been drained, again, the benefits are marginal.
Right.
The average life,
yeah, I've never
drained it. The average life of a water heater is 8 to 10 years. When it starts when it starts to pop and percolate and that kind of stuff, it's always less expensive to replace a water heater when you plan for it, as opposed to a water heater that, like, I have no hot water, I need a plumber right now.
Right. Okay, cool. Excellent.
Make sense?
Yep. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Be well. Happy holidays. Happy New Year to you. That's always a bummer when you start to hear those things go. The thing is, water heaters are, it's the kind of thing you definitely want a licensed plumber to do, but it's a relatively easy swap out, you know, when they buy the right equipment to do all that. And so, again, you kind of keep that in mind, right? 8 to 10 years average life of a water heater. You plan this out, it'll cost you less money than doing it in an emergency situation. All right, 877-2134, Lou is our number, 877-213-4568. We will take a quick break and be back right after this.
All right.
Just hear those sleigh bells jingling, ring, ting, tingling too. Come on, it's lovely weather for a sleigh ride together with you.
Welcome back. Lou Manfredini, House Smarts Radio.
Snow is falling and friends are calling you. Come on, it's lovely weather for a sleigh ride together with you.
You did the hourly sponsors, right? Got a whole new system here we got going.
Let's look at the show. We're riding in a wonderland of snow.
I was driving around before Christmas, and I was listening to WGN Radio, you know, because that's what I do.
Just holding your hand.
And I was listening to a PermaSeal commercial that Roy Spencer was reading, and he said, a stitch in time truly does save nine. Anyone? Don? Joe?
You mean Dave?
Don? Dave? Sorry, Dave.
I was going to say, yeah. Who are you talking to? I
haven't heard from Don in a while.
Right.
What does it mean? A stitch in time?
Saves nine.
Anyone? Well, let's see here. I'm looking it up.
Schwani, of all the people, I thought for sure it'd be Schwani that would get this. Right? It's a whole thing like... The whole point is that there are these sayings that, you know, like these old-time sayings that people will say, right? And so a stitch in time saves nine is the whole idea is that what Roy was trying to say in his commercial was like, hey, you don't want to let this get away from you. I even mentioned this on an earlier caller. You want to take care of it now because it's worse. So let's just say, Lindsay, where this comes, you have a hem on your skirt and you got a loose little part on your skirt.
My blouse.
On your blouse. And you've got a hem that's loose, and you're like, oh, I gotta stitch that. Because if I don't stitch it now, it's going to unravel. And so now I'm going to have to do nine stitches, right? Mm-hmm. So thus a stitch in time saves nine. So then I started to think about what are some of the other sayings that people maybe say all the time? Like, I mean, so you were kind enough. You, was it a Christmas gift or was it?
I think it was Christmas, yes.
It was a Christmas gift a couple years ago where you, like, I say a lot of stuff, right? Like, hey, that's a nice blouse. And you went to all, like, friends of mine and people that I work with and got all these different sayings of things that I say, right? And put
your
it up.
Children and your family.
Right. It was really, it's super funny. But then I was thinking of other things that people say that, you know, are like sayings, right? Like, Joe, was there anybody in your life that always said something or Dave that somebody said something to you? Like, for instance, like, an apple a day keeps the doctor away.
Sure.
Right? Like
that's
that.
Supposed to be
you
true.
You should have prepped this earlier because then, like, now.
I'm just having you think about it. Now, Joe is feverishly Googling as we speak. Then I was asking my kids, like, what are some things? Oh, we had a teacher in grade school who used to say, you say that you get, where is it here? Okay, so Apple Day, you get, well, mine is you get what you pay for, right? That's another saying that people will say, hey, you get what you pay for, right? Or maybe you can't have your cake and eat it too,
mm-hmm.
right?
Oh, I had a teacher that said that a lot.
Right?
Yeah.
How about, oh, this is, Mallory said that she had a grade school teacher that said, you get what you get and you don't get upset.
Oh, yeah, we say that with the girls.
Right? Okay, so that's a saying, right?
Sounds like you say it a lot, by the way you said that, Lindsay.
We had a family friend. We had a family friend that would say, a little goes a long way.
Right. Those are
a little goes a long way. And I
need to, as we're trying to, you know, get out of this thing, we got to think about all that stuff. A watched pot never boils.
Right?
Right? These are good things, right?
And
how about this one?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, when you think about it, it's true. You keep watching that water, that pot on the stove, and it doesn't boil until you walk away from it. And then it explodes.
Like watching paint dry?
Watching paint dry, yeah. Right? Like that, right? That takes forever, right? The whole analogy, like a stitch in time saves nine. So see, then I was thinking about, like, what about that's the way the cookie crumbles, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Or how about this one? It takes more muscles to frown than to smile. Right? When you see somebody with a sour puss on their face, right?
I had a teacher that would always say that, yep.
See what I mean? Okay. Or how about this one? Man, he is like a bull in a china shop.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Right?
Lou, do you know why they call him a shot? Like a shot of whiskey or a shot of bourbon? Do you know why they call him a shot?
No.
So back in the day, cowboys used to have bullets on them, and they'd go to the saloon after, I don't know, a hard day's work of being a cowboy. And they wanted a shot of liquor, and a shot of liquor cost the same as a bullet. And they didn't often have cash on them, so they would give them a bullet because it was the same value as the price of a shot. And then when they would get paid at the end of the week, they'd go back to the bar and they'd buy all their bullets back.
Really?
Interesting. Look at you.
Really? That is really good. Well, you know what? I would say something like that. Well, butter my butt and call me biscuit.
What does that mean, Lou?
That's a great
I don't know. Or this one. How about this one, Joe? You need that like you need a hole in your head.
I like that one. I haven't heard that one in a while. My grandpa used to say when we were playing cards, some days applesauce, some days peanut butter. And I never really understood it.
Some days applesauce, some I like them both.
Yeah. I agree. I do too.
Right? How about this is a good one for me. The road to success is always under construction. She's Googling right now. Okay?
No, I'm trying to think
of
what I'm
doing. And then my two favorites, and then we'll get back to the calls at 877-2134, Lou, is that, does your mother kiss you with that mouth?
No, isn't it, do you kiss your mother with that mouth?
Well, if you had said something, I would say it to you. And then finally... Mallory said, you know, she's been working during break at the Ace, and so she always has lots of stories. And so somebody came up to the register, and she said, "Hi, how you doing today?" And the gentleman turned to Mallory and goes, "If I was any better, I'd be twins." So there you go. Some old sayings sponsored by my friend Roy Spencer.
And you are really on the ball.
A stitch in time saves nine. Some days applesauce.
Some days peanut butter.
877-2134-LOU is our phone number. 877-213-4568. Lindsay's sending me a bunch that I can't read on the air.
You can kind of fake it.
No, not at all. 877-2134-LOU. Let's talk to Cheryl, who's in Buffalo Grove. Hi, Cheryl. Oh, hold on. No, did I lose Cheryl? Where'd we go there? Oh, there we go, right there. Okay, 877-213-4568. Let's do this. We'll take a quick break and hear from Lindsay about what's new at Builder Supply Outlet.
Thanks, Lou. All right, if you're someone who likes to stay on trend, then it's out with the old and in with the gold. Add richness to existing cabinets by swapping out tired-looking hardware with brushed gold. Or maybe matte black is more your style. It's such a small change, but one that delivers a huge payoff. Let Tom's expert team help you find the right finish to pump up the personality of your kitchen without breaking the bank. Come check out the new cabinet hardware and more at Builder Supply Outlet. Have a question for Lou?
Well, I've got a problem from that cold snap we had. My heater went out.
Now's the time to call.
I have a 20-year-old granite countertop, and I was just wondering how I would heal it.
Lou Manfredini's taking your calls live right here.
And that laminate floor is going to shine like the top of the Chrysler Building.
And right now on House Smarts Radio.
Well, I'm working on a building.
You can't make chicken salad out of chicken.
I'm holding up.
877-2134-LOU.
Oh, my Lord.
Will I never get
tired? Let's get back to your phone calls.
Working on the building. I'm going up to heaven. Oh, Lord, to get my reward.
Suzanne's in Elgin. Hi, Suzanne.
Hello.
How may I help you this morning?
I have a new water heater, and the bathrooms are fine, but the pressure in the kitchen is low.
Okay.
So I need to know what to do. I tried underneath the sink with the spigots under there, and the one in the by the water heater, the on and off.
Mm-hmm.
I turned it a little, and it gave me some drops of water down. So I turned it back so it wouldn't drip.
What about have you taken the screen off of the faucet in the kitchen?
Nope.
Tell me about that faucet. Is it a pull-out spray? Is it a standard faucet? What is it?
Yeah, it's a pull-out spray.
Okay. Put a dish rag down over the sink drain. Okay? Pull the pull-out spray and turn it up so it's looking at you. Take a pair of pliers.
Yeah.
Take a pair of pliers and loosen the aerator on the end of that handle. And you're going to take that off, and you're going to, and then when it's off in your hand, turn the faucet on and let the water blow through there into the sink. Move the dish rag, obviously. And then I bet you're going to see a bunch of sediment on that aerator on the end of that faucet. And if you clean that all out, let the water race through there, put it all back together, you should have, the pressure should be fine. If that doesn't work, you know how that pull-out spray, when you come out, you've got the hose that comes to the actual head itself.
Okay.
You can take that apart because there could be sediment caught on the head itself. Now, when you do that, I want you to be, Suzanne, be very careful because you don't want to let that just fall back inside the faucet because depending, it may be difficult for you to pull it back out. So hold it in your hand, turn the water on so the water sprays out of that hose nice and strong, clean out that head, put it all back together, and I bet you'll solve this problem.
Why would it only happen after I change the water heater, though?
Well, because when they change the water heater, they turn the water off to the house. It loosens up sediment inside the pipe. They have to drain the system down. And so these little pieces of sediment can go anywhere, and they get caught on those screens. So imagine all that water is in the pipes pushing against there. I take the water away. If there's any, you know, flakiness on the inside of the pipes or whatever, it moves its way through there, and that is a very common occurrence. I'm surprised, you know, if you had a plumber do this, that they didn't come and, you know, do that. That's kind of usually a good plumber will do that kind of stuff to make sure you have good pressure.
Well, I thank you on that, and I have one of them old sayings.
Tell me.
For your other show.
I don't have to worry about beeping you out, right?
No.
All right.
My mother would always, whenever she got, you know, in a mood, she'd tell you to go east till your hat floats. And you know, east of us was Lake Michigan.
I like that. Thank you very much. Have a great day. Happy New Year. That's good. Lindsay, I'm going to use that on you. Well, you can use that on me. Go east until your hat floats. That's
right.
Good. 877-213-4LOU, 877-213-4568. This is Sandy, who's in Naperville. Hi, Sandy.
Hi, Lou. Love your show. I'm calling because I have a 20-year-old screen door, and it's in excellent condition, except I've noticed that it sheds little bits of silver on the floor.
Yeah.
Especially if you open or close it. And I was wondering if there's anything that I could spray on it or something to do to get it to stop doing that. Because, again, other than that, the screen door is in perfect condition.
Does it have a finish to it? Is it a color or is it aluminum?
I think it's it's aluminum.
No, but is it white or like what's the, does it have a finish to it?
Yeah, I would say it's dark. It's not white.
Like a brown or something like that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What happens with the aluminum, especially doors like that, because of the sun, they start to oxidize a little bit, and the aluminum does break down. And it's not uncommon for aluminum extruded doors like that, where you see a little bit of flaking. Sometimes you can almost see some blistering in the aluminum itself, something that's 20 years old like that. But what you can do in areas where you see damage, you can lightly sand that with a sanding sponge to try and get it nice and smooth. But then you're going to have to repaint the door. And now that original finish that was on there was some kind of baked-on finish. You're going to have to find a spray paint that's as close to the color as you can. And then you may have to end up painting the whole door to get it to match because it might not be the same thing. And the fact that the door looks good, I mean, the reality of it is you're not going to do this now because it's too cold. But in the meantime, you can take a sanding sponge and just sort of do a little bit of sanding. It's okay if it stays exposed. It's aluminum. But then in the springtime, maybe you prop the thing open and use some painter's tape and newspaper around it and spray paint the whole door and get it looking good again. And, you know, for the cost of a couple of cans of spray paint, it'll look brand new again.
Okay, so the spray paint would be the color that is there now, or
correct
any color.
Well, you could do any color, but I mean, if you like the color that you want, or, I mean, if the color that you have, you can probably get that. If it's a brown or a darker color, you'll get something that's close, but more than likely, you'll have to paint the whole thing.
Yeah, understood. Thank you, Lou.
Thank you. I appreciate you calling this morning. 877-213-4. Lou, look what you started. Now I'm getting all kinds of text messages, right? If it looks like a duck and walks like a duck, it's probably a duck.
Yeah. You should see the text line.
Here's Cheryl in Buffalo Grove. Hi, Cheryl. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Hey, Lou. Happy holidays. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How may I help you?
So I've got a house for resale. It was built in 1960, and I believe there are hardwood floors under the carpet in the living room, dining room area. And I'm just wondering, I've heard it's a big mess, it's a lot of work, it's expensive, and I'm just wondering if you feel like it would be a worthwhile project to try to up the resale value, and if you'd recommend somebody that might do it, how long does it take, all that kind of stuff.
Okay, so you have this home that you're going to renovate to sell, or you live in this house?
No, this is my mother's house. She just moved to assisted living. It's the house I grew up in she's lived in for 55 years.
Okay.
And we're just trying to get it ready to sell.
Okay. There's a couple of things to consider with all this, and I think that, I'm assuming, are you going to get the help of a professional realtor?
Yes.
All right. So there's a bunch of questions that you have to have be asking to this realtor. So your mother's house, the house you grew up in, what is the rest of the neighborhood like? In other words, is your mother's house in nice shape? Would somebody buy this house and tear it down? Would they come in and remodel the bathrooms and the kitchens? Tell me a little bit about that.
Okay, so the house is, they did a remodel. It's got ceramic tile in the kitchen. The bathrooms they still have wallpaper, so the bathrooms probably do need an updating. But it's certainly, it's a brick, a split-level house. It's in a great neighborhood, very sought after at this time, actually. Not a lot of homes for sale in that area, so I think it's going to go quick. Mm-hmm. But I just don't want to spend a lot of time or money if I'm not going to get it out of it. You know what I'm saying?
Right. I'm sure the realtor is going to
definitely not a tear down.
Okay, so the realtor is going to say the wallpaper has to come down. Although wallpaper's coming back, but I don't know what the walls are. And the biggest issue, especially with young buyers, if it's a sought after area, the joke with a lot of realtors is they all want it to look like Fixer Upper, but they don't want to spend the money. You know what I mean? They all want it to be Joanna Gaines ready, and so it's got to show well. And, you know, the fact of the matter is that I'm assuming your mother owns the house, you know, so there's, it has a value to it based on how quickly we're going to sell. Of course, it's going to show better if the hardwood floors are exposed and shown as opposed to the carpeting. Okay. You're going to spend $4 a square foot to resand them. Maybe even a little bit more. So you can measure the room and like, okay, if we pull the carpeting up and we redo the floors, this is what it's going to cost. And if we're talking about an entire first floor, it could take a week for that to happen, you know, if not more. Okay. But it's definitely going to show better. But if you're going to do the floors, the wallpaper's got to come down and you got to paint the walls. And so,
okay.
I mean, what would you think you have square footage wise? Is it the entire first floor other than the kitchen that's hardwood?
It's an L-shaped living room, dining room, and I'm really bad. I have no idea.
All right, so let's say it's 1,000 square feet for the sake of the argument, and I'm at that $4 to $5 a square foot. So there's $5,000.
Okay.
And let's say that we get a painter to come in and remove, how many rooms have wallpaper?
Just the bathrooms, actually.
Oh, okay. So now we get the wallpaper down and we paint the bathrooms, and let's call that another $3,000. You know, because maybe we're touching things up. So let's just say we put $10,000 into this. Now, talk to your realtor and say, if I put $10,000, am I putting the house on the market for, I'm just going to make up a number, for $310,000 as opposed to three? And do I get it? If I can get, you know, normally when you do this kind of work, you don't get dollar for dollar. But depending on the how the house looks and the rest of it, this is the kind of stuff where they walk in and all of a sudden you get multiple bids, and then you can afford the $10,000. And if that's the number, if the investment's $10,000 and the realtor says, look, we need to do this to get this house sold, then I think it's definitely worth your investment. Thanks so much for the phone call. Bumping up against time here, you're listening to House Smarts Radio with me, Lou Manfredini. When we come back, we're going to have a conversation about the internet and how well it has held up during this pandemic. Don't go away. We'll be back right after this.
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way.
Oh, welcome back to House Smarts Radio. Lou Manfredini here with you. One of the things that I have been sort of impressed by is how well the internet and all of us who are, whether we're working from home, we're going to school at home, we're streaming at home, has held up. And, you know, it's one of those things where we normally don't focus on the positives. We always, like, you know, raise our pitchforks and torches when there's a negative. But I wanted to really learn a little bit more about what it takes to keep that lifeline that is the internet for most of us now alive and well. Joining me on the House Smarts phone line is Jason Livinggood. He is Comcast's Vice President for Technology Policy and Standards. Jason, good morning and welcome to House Smarts Radio.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Tell me a little bit about the reach of Comcast as it pertains to, you know, the tentacles that you have. Coast to coast, nationwide? Is it primarily a certain chunk of the United States?
Well, we have sort of a somewhat of a national coverage, certainly not everywhere, but we have services available to about 60 million households. So, you know, within that footprint, you can get, you know, Comcast service, which might be internet services, TV, you know, mobile phone services, and so on.
Mm-hmm. Now, under normal circumstances, we go back a year ago, you know, we're all working in our offices and out and about, and we've got cell phone service and all that kind of stuff. And I think for most of us, you know, we're happy when it all works. When the pandemic hit and people and I have to imagine that the schooling, the education portion of it, perhaps put a bigger strain on the internet that was being provided. Is that a true statement?
Yes, absolutely. It was, I think everyone that's an engineer working on the internet would say it's just utterly remarkable how quickly everything shifted. You had, you know, just huge portions of the workforce and, you know, kids going to school that suddenly shifted, you know, really within a matter of a couple of weeks nationally to being all around the world in offices and schools to suddenly being at home. And the shift in traffic was just, you know, amazing.
And you know, when we talk about essential workers and people that are out there doing this day in and day out, I mean, you know, right? I mean, the internet lines, whether they're overhead or some, I'm sure, are underground, but you've got some really dedicated technicians who are out there every day because I'm sure problems arise all the time. That strain had to put quite a load on your equipment.
Not just the equipment, certainly, but, you know, on the people as well. You know, we did a tremendous amount of, you know, in-the-field network augmentation work to add capacity all over the place. You know, probably in some weeks, you know, more than 400% what we would have done in a normal week. So there was a lot of work really at the ground level of our workforce out in the local regions, the folks that you see in bucket trucks and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the network held up remarkably well. You know, it had a lot of extra capacity already built into it. And, you know, there are a bunch of other reasons that I can go into for, you know, why I was able to sort of weather the storm, so to speak.
Well, I'm interested in that because, I mean, in my mind, you know, kind of thinking this through like a builder, you know, the internet line and how that data gets through there is like a, and you can please correct me if I'm wrong, but it's like a giant pipe, right? And now all of a sudden I'm pushing more, you know, stuff through that pipe. And at some point, you know, that pipe's got to get filled up. How was it that you were able to make sure that that information going back and forth was reliable and has held up as well as it has?
Yeah, it's really remarkable, and I think it's unique to really the nature of the internet and the way it was designed. And so I would probably trace this back or the success here to really five key things. The first is the out of the 1960s, the core design tenets of the internet, which is remarkable that it's, you know, stood that test of that length of time. But that design made it completely decentralized, so you didn't have any one entity controlling the decision-making and where capacity goes and so on.
Mm-hmm.
It was completely decoupled, so if you built a network in a small town or in an enterprise and connected that to the internet, you didn't have to get someone's permission, you didn't have to coordinate with someone. So everything was very loosely organized. At the same time, they created these open protocols, these sort of open interfaces that enable the network to talk, you know, from one end to the other and applications to work. And those were completely open, highly interoperable, and importantly, highly adaptive to failure or changes in the network's conditions. So in the most extreme case, you can think about the ability of you to, say, watch a streaming video on your mobile phone while you're, say, in a car moving down a highway. And depending upon where you are relative to the network, you know, the quality might go up and down, but that protocol doesn't just break and the session drop, right? It's able to adapt to those changes. And that's built in and baked into sort of the architecture, the core protocols as well.
Hmm.
And then the third thing would be the implementation. So it's great to have a, you know, really good design. It's great to have open protocols so that things work really well together. But strong implementation, which is sort of that daily, you know, work of the maintainers that often don't get a lot of the limelight. It's often new features we think about, but there are thousands of people in many, many companies that just work day in and day out to make sure there's enough capacity in the network, to make sure that the reliability is good and so on. And that sort of day-to-day competence, you know, was important. And of course, long-term investment. You know, companies have been investing for years. Just since 2017, as an example, we've invested more than $12 billion in that access network and added more than 33,000 miles of fiber to the network.
Wow.
And so, you know, our company does that. You have all different aspects of the ecosystem, from Amazon's web services that provide back-end services to a lot of websites, to other access networks and mobile networks, you name it. Everyone's been investing, and that's been helpful. And then the last thing has been, you know, in the face of this huge rise in traffic, companies have been very, very willing to just roll up their sleeves, work quickly and cooperatively together to just do the right thing, add capacity where needed, coordinate to solve problems. And again, that's down to sort of the culture that's grown out of the internet and internet engineering as well. So
and
sort of the convergence of all that.
Yeah, and I have to imagine, too, I mean, certainly you represent Comcast and you have other competitors, but at some point you probably, all of you have to sit in a room at some point and think about how you achieve these goals, you know, in totality. Has this pandemic and this such an immediate rise in traffic, has it changed the thinking as to what the future holds and what maybe, you know, you mentioned the fact that it sped things up a little bit in investment and whatnot, but are there changes on the horizon that are only going to make things even better?
Yeah, I think so. You know, that's happening all the time. You know, certainly there are a lot of security and privacy enhancements that are happening now to the network and to applications. And so, you know, that's important. But in terms of performance and really your specific question, I think there have been a lot of real-world learnings that have come out of home network performance and the kinds of simultaneous usage that a lot of people see as normal today. So imagine you've got a family of four at home, you know, two kids and two adults. Two of the kids are doing online school. The two adults are doing, you know, Zoom calls all day and what have you. And that's placed a bunch of really different demands on the home network. And mm-hmm. so I think there have been a lot of learnings about how to maintain and sort of improve the performance of those home networks. And you'll start to see, you know, those sort of improvements happening and being rolled out into equipment and all sorts of things. And as well, I think certainly all of the applications that have become very, very popular, whether it's video conferencing or other, you know, web applications, those folks have been just rapidly iterating their software code, really updating it, you know, every day with enhancements. And so they're not waiting around. They're, you know, reacting very quickly. And the kind of application experience you have today on many of those platforms is very different and much better than it would have been 6 or 9 months ago.
Right. And I would imagine, too, that the equipment that we use, I mean, certainly for Comcast customers, you know, you all make available specific modems and whatnot that are tied to your network. But the kinds of equipment that you use inside your home does matter, right? I mean, investing in the right modems or these mesh systems, I mean, that can enhance the experience inside your home.
Absolutely, and I can't underscore how, you know, really truly critical that is. Your in-home network and the equipment that you install on your network is going to make a or break your experience, if you will. And I would say the things that we have learned from our customers and with our customers and that other networks have learned is, number one, you need a really good Wi-Fi network. And so that means, you know, make sure your access point's not only in the right place, but is sort of the latest and greatest standard. And in particular, as you mentioned, Wi-Fi mesh. So, you know, we have, for example, X-Fi pods. Other companies have them that you can buy and install. That ensures that you've got really great Wi-Fi network coverage in your house, because when it's bad, it ends up having sort of an experience where you sort of drag everyone's performance down to the worst performance of any wireless,
right,
you know, user in the network.
Right.
So that's been important. And people have also found, you know, from your home office, let's say if you have a dedicated home office or a gaming area with a, you know, smart TV, try to use Ethernet for those connections. You're going to make the experience much, much better, you know, really hands down compared to Wi-Fi in the home.
Yeah, that's really, really good information. Jason Livingood is Comcast's Vice President of Technology Policy and Standards. You know, I don't know if your people told you this, Jason, but they said that you, I was going to give out your cell phone number, so if people had a problem with the Internet, they could just call you directly. You know, if you don't want to do that now, we can get that number later.
Okay, sounds good.
I really do. I really do appreciate you spending some time with us, and I really do mean this. You know, as someone that spent a lot of years working for a living, and I'm sure you agree with this, but you can't say enough for certainly the engineers that are putting us all together, but the people that are climbing up those ladders and on those bucket trucks every single day, making sure that people can work and learn and even try and have some enjoyment, you know, not only in the time we're in now, but in the future. And I'm always very impressed when I see those people day in and day out doing that work.
You bet. Thanks.
You got it. Jason Livingood, Comcast Vice President, Technology Policy and Standards. Thanks again for joining us. You're listening to House Smarts Radio with me, Lou Manfredini. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be back right after this.
You are listening to your big brother in the business. That's right, Lou Manfredini. And he's taking your calls live right here on House Smarts Radio.
Nothing wrong with a hard hat and a hammer.
Welcome back. Kind of blue and stiff. 877-213-4568. Are you getting some
God bless the working man.
Are you getting some more sayings that are coming through on the text line?
I am. Do you want me to read some to you?
Sure. Because, you know, it all came from earlier I was talking about the fact that there's a Roy Spencer was doing a PermaSeal ad where he was talking about a stitch in time saves nine, which I was surprised when I said that. You, Schwani, and Joe Brand had no idea what that meant. How is it that I'm the old guy?
Well, you said.
But wait, did you give us the actual definition? Nine what?
Nine stitches. In other words, you want to get that stitch taken care of. Joe, where have you been?
I've been here. I just thought you kind of generalized.
Joe, so in other words, you know, it's like when I say to people, like, well, you know, it just had a little leak, and I would put the can under the, well, if you keep that leak there, it's going to get a bigger leak. Right?
So you just tried to explain a metaphor using another metaphor?
Why is it that I like this him so much? Why?
I ask myself that same question every day.
He keeps you on your toes.
Keep you on your toes.
Actually, it's an analogy, Joe. It's an analogy.
Stay on your toes, right?
An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure.
Right? You know what I can remember when my son, when Quinn played, or my daughters too, when they played lacrosse? The coach you see out, keep your head on a swivel. Keep your head on a swivel. Right, Joe?
Okay, I get it.
Right? Well, yeah, because like when you're playing lacrosse, you want to keep looking around, you know, like swivel. You're swiveling your head.
Oh, I get it.
Right?
A bad penny always turns up.
What?
A bad penny always turns up.
Right. It's like a bad penny. Like that, I say that all the time.
I'm just reading what people say.
Right.
Well, I have written in for you.
Stressing the importance of knowing analogies is like preaching to the choir. I understand how important it is.
Preaching to the choir.
He's doing it now. What do you think he's been doing the past? He's been searching all this stuff.
Preaching to the choir.
We're going
to
hear this for the rest of the morning.
He goes, this is what these old people say? This is what Joe's saying.
You got too many irons in the fire. That's another one.
Right, that's a good one.
Too many cooks in the kitchen.
Don't cry over spilled milk. I say that a lot.
Right, see?
All right, all of this is just water under the bridge now.
Here we go.
There you go.
877-213. Right, and then my favorite one in If It's a Wonderful Life, when they're there, you know, going to the before they go to the big dance. And what's his name? Harry Bailey's got all the pies, and he walks out. He's got a pie in his head, and he's got the pies. He's like, George, you coming to the dance? And George says, got a match?
Oh, yeah. You use that one a lot.
Problem is, there's not a lot of smokers anymore that don't get that anymore. 877-213-4LOU. 877-213-4568. Let's talk with Mike, who is in Glenview. Mike, good morning.
Hey, happy holidays.
You too.
Thanks for taking my call. My wife and I have been longtime listeners, and she said, you know, I'm working on this do-it-yourself project, and she said, give Lou a call.
That's so nice. Well, how may I help you with your do-it-yourself project?
So my son bought a condo in the city, and he's on the fourth story. He's got a finished deck, and the parapet wall that goes around the deck is about 32, 34 inches high. So what we want to do is add a cable railing, like a 12-inch cable railing, to the top of that parapet wall. So I got all that figured out. The only thing I don't have figured out is an understanding of what is exactly in the top of that parapet wall. It's got a aluminum cap on it, and I understand, so this is in Bucktown, I understand they typically cap with a 2x4, 2x12 in this case probably, and then they put aluminum on top of it. I just don't know if there's a secure, if it's a continuous piece of 2x12 all the way through. Is there a way that I could test that with a stud finder or something?
Okay. Is this a new construction building or newer construction?
No, it's an existing building. It's an existing building, yeah. It was built in 1990.
Okay, but is the parapet wall made of brick?
So it's cedar, it's cinder block going all the way up to the top, but I know there's a board across the top, the very top of the parapet wall before they put the, I think they call coping.
Right.
Before they put the coping on, there's wood there. What I just can't tell is, does the wood span all the way across the top, or is it a 2x4 on each edge?
Yeah, I mean, I can't. And then what you want to do with the cable railing that you're going to put in, you have some sort of vertical standard that you want to screw through the coping.
Yep.
And then run your cables through there. So this is
exactly.
Okay. So this is critical because not only the fact that parapet wall is so low, that railing needs to be finished 42 inches. You know that, right?
Exactly. Yep.
But I also need to know that those standards that you're bolting down into that coping are solid. Because the risk you have is if it is, the only way you're going to know any of this, Mike, is you got to take the coping off.
Ah, okay.
That's the only way.
I'm afraid of that. Yeah.
And you have to do this because you have to ensure that it's anchored properly. Because if they took that, I doubt it's a 2x12. If it's just a block wall, it's probably a 2x8. And what they probably did is they put anchors, you know, every, I don't know, 4 feet into the mortar, and then they came up and then they bolted that down there. We got to make sure that that's anchored. That if somebody, God forbid, leans against this, it doesn't fall over, right? This is a safety issue that you have to be sure of is set. And where he's got the rooftop deck, the deck comes up to the block wall.
So the deck, yeah. So there's the deck. It's a wooden deck, and the wall is. So in most areas, it's 32 to 34 inches above the top.
When you're standing at the deck.
When you're standing, yeah, right up against the wall, it's about 32 inches. There's parts where it's lower, like 32, and then there's parts where it goes up to about 34. So we're going to add a 12 inch railing across the whole entire thing.
Okay. All right, well, you need to ensure that that is there and it's anchored, and when you bolt this down in there, the other thing you have to be sure of is that we're not leaking, or, you know, that the connection point that you go through that coping, you need to make sure none of that leaks.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
And what I would do is, you know, you're going to probably go with some galvanized lag bolts through the feet of this thing, make sure they're long enough to hit all of that, and then... use something over the top of it. I really like this product called Lexel, which stays, it's actually paintable too. So if you want to go over the top of that, squirt a little bit as you bolt it down right before the last half inch goes in there, squirt a little bit on the shaft of the lag bolt and then crank it down and then finish it off at the top with little dollops on the hole on four of the bolts. Let that dry, and then you can paint it all to match, which will look really nice. But this is a critical thing that you have to get right. You cannot mess around with it whatsoever. Thanks so much for the phone call. Our phone number is 877-213-4LOU, 877-213-4568. We'll take a quick break and be back right after this.
This lady loves Lou.
And I've been listening to you forever. I love you, love you.
This guy, he loves Lou too.
I don't think I've missed a show except for when I was out of town.
Yep, another lover.
Good morning. I love your show. I look forward to it every Saturday.
But hey, that's not what this rejoin is about. We're not trying to oversell Lou. I'm just doing like a public service announcement.
You got a lot of love today. This is really good for my ego.
So now you decide for yourself. Back to your host, Lou Manfredini on House Smarts Radio.
What's love got to do?
Welcome back.
What's love but a second-hand emotion?
877-213-4LOU. 877-213-4568. The old saying keep coming in. Leopards don't change their spots. Let's go back to the phone lines here. Let's see who we're talking to. Is this Ken on the line? Hey, Ken? Hold on. No. All right, let me see who this is. Who's this on line one? I don't know the name of this person. Ed?
No, Ken.
It's Ken. Hey, Ken, how are you?
All right. Hey, I have a quick funny story to tell you.
Okay.
Before I ask the question. So a couple of years ago, I'm sitting on an airplane up in first class, and who walks in and sits down next to me? It's you. And
well, you know, because I only fly first class.
Right. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm thinking, my gosh, I could have a 2.5-hour personal Lou Manfredini show. And I didn't bother you the whole time. I think you were asleep before your head even hit the seat.
Well, I'm very sorry that we didn't have that conversation because I have to tell you that has happened to me quite a bit. Which, look, I have said for years, Ken. You know, maybe I'm somewhere. I mean, I joke about how I'm a C-minus celebrity. And if someone comes up to me and asks me a question, you know, I've been with friends and like, doesn't that bother you? And I say to them all the time is when they stop bothering me and asking me some questions, then I'm going to be in trouble. So I'm always willing to help. That's very kind. Can I help you today?
So, yes. So I have a ranch home. It's long. 3 bedrooms at the north end. Put an addition on a few years ago, a master bedroom and a bath at the south end. And we tore it down, so it's an open concept, the whole house. Never moved the thermostat, but when we put the addition on with the master bedroom, I zoned the boiler, so it works beautifully. I mean, you know, we didn't have to buy a new heating plant or anything. The problem is that the north end, the 3 bedrooms down there are, I feel so bad for my kids. It's just, it's frozen down there. And because where the thermostat is at in the center part of the house, by the time it gets up to 74 degrees, it turns off and says, okay, I'm fine. But meanwhile, I don't think that heat has cycled through enough at the north end and it shuts off. So my question is, should I move the thermostat? I was thinking of moving it down the hallway and putting it more closer to their rooms, or can I zone my boiler again for those rooms? I don't know if that's possible.
Well, I mean, it might be possible depending on how the boiler with the threshold is set up. But, you know, one thing that you can do now with the advent of these smart thermostats, I know that Ecobee, which is a manufacturer, they have sensors that you can essentially, the problem with this is, so in other words, if you were to replace the thermostat where you have it right now and then put a sensor at that north end where the kids are, it will register
right.
that temperature and keep the boiler running until that gets to temperature.
How is that run?
Wi-Fi. It's all Wi-Fi.
Really?
Yeah, so there's no wiring. But here's the thing. So you've got the thermostat in the hallway that says 70 degrees, right? And your point is it doesn't cycle long enough. So now this sensor is over there by the bedrooms. You can actually put them in each bedroom. And it'll wait till it gets to 70 there. But that means it may be 74 in the hallway.
Yeah, there's no good answer. I mean, unless I...
The rezoning of it, depending on how it's wired, or not wired, piped rather, is if there is a manifold that can delineate those radiators that's in there, then it certainly can be done. The other thing is that if that can't be done, the thing is you could do supplemental back there and do something like a split system where you run a heat, a heat pump back there, like one of these AC units, you know, these ductless systems, where you could provide supplemental heat back there.
I want to look into this thermostat. You've really got me intrigued. What's the name of this again?
The name of the manufacturer is Ecobee. 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 And they have, and I think that Nest offers this and Honeywell, but I know that the Ecobee sensors, you can place them in different rooms, Wi-Fi enabled. You change out the thermostat. It senses that. It will keep the thing cycling until those rooms reach temperature.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That could be the golden ticket.
Yeah. Next time when I see you, next time, if we ever get back on an airplane again and we see each other again, make sure you stop and we talk, okay? Because now we're, you know, we're old friends. Remember we talked back in 2020?
Thank you, Lou. You're very good. I appreciate it. And happy holidays.
You too, sir. Thanks so much for calling. 877-213-4LOU. 877-213-4568 is the phone number. This is Mahesh in Schaumburg. Hey, Mahesh. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Hi, Lou. How are you? This is Mahesh.
How may I help you, sir?
Yes, I have a house which was built in 70s. And it is not heating up and it is not cooling properly. And our air conditioner and the furnace is about 7 years old. The thermostat is about 4 or 5 years old. It's programmable new thermostat.
Mahesh, how do you heat the home? Is it with forced air or is it with hot water heat?
It is gas forced air.
Gas forced air. And the system, the current system that you have right now just does not adequately heat or cool the home?
Right. Yesterday outside temperature was 9 degrees and my first floor temperature was 61 degrees.
Oh.
And my thermostat was set at 71 degrees.
Okay. Well, and then one other thing, you broke up a little bit. How old is the home that you live in?
It was built in 1970.
1930?
70.
20. Wow, okay.
No, 70.
1970, I'm sorry. Okay, 1970. We got to get somebody coming out there to figure out why it's not keeping temperature. I mean, you could have a myriad of things going on as to why this system's not doing that. While it was cold outside, your system sized properly should be adequately being able to at least, I mean, it wasn't sub-zero temperature, I mean, that we can get here in this area, but have someone come out and take a look. You're in Schaumburg, so you could have somebody like Perfect Home Services, Dykstra Home Services, come out and assess what's going on with this system. There could be an issue with the heat exchanger. There could be something with a limit switch where the unit is not running long enough to get up to temperature. But, you know, the simple things you can do is make sure your furnace filters are clean and are not clogged, because that can cause the system to operate improperly and not get you up to temperature. But that kind of temperature swing, Mahesh, is not normal, and you need a professional HVAC contractor to come out and take a look at it to make sure that they can get the thing up and running for you properly. That is a for sure. Thanks so much for the phone call. 877-213-4LOU, 877-213-4568. We need to take a quick break, and we'll be back right after this.
You know what is a really amazing thing is modern plumbing.
You never know what you're going to get on this show.
I'm sitting on the couch, and Max had some friends over, and we have a powder room on the first floor, and this young man like, oh, Mr. Manfredini, where's your bathroom? Oh, it's right through the door there.
You're listening to Lou Manfredini.
The young man goes in there, and so then I start thinking about modern plumbing.
He's always thinking.
And I'm thinking to myself, we really take modern plumbing for granted.
Outside the Lou.
This kid probably really regretted asking.
No. I just...
Do you have any idea how lucky you are?
Yeah.
And you, too, are the lucky ones, because he's taking your calls right here, right
modern
now.
Modern plumbing is something to marvel at.
Now back to Lou.
You walk into a bathroom right now, and it doesn't smell. I do.
Right.
I do.
Right here on House Smarts Radio.
Welcome back. House Smarts Radio with me, Lou Manfredini. By the way, 2020 marks my 25th anniversary here at WGN Radio. We're on the verge of going on to year 26. And actually, next Saturday, we start at 6, as a matter of fact. How about that? I didn't even think of that. Put that all together.
Cock-a-doodle-doo.
Cock-a-doodle-doo. Well, I started back in 1995 as a guest on the Bob Collins Show. And in honor of that anniversary, over the past 20 weeks, we've been giving you a chance to win some of my favorite things. Congratulations to Teresa Pretzler of Niles, who is the winner of last week's prize, a $250 American Sale gift card. She'll be able to bring the fun home with American Sale's largest selection of decor, plus pools, game tables, trampolines, and more. And thank you to all who entered to win my favorite things giveaways these past few weeks. Look for my favorite things to return in the summer of 2021. Ooh la la. I like that. Been a lot of fun. Ooh. Thanks to all the sponsors that were part of that. Thank you, all of you that signed up for it all. It's been a really an amazing year. And it's just amazing to me that it's been 25 years that I've been here on WGN Radio and that I can get to continue with you beyond that. So we're really looking forward to it, looking forward to the next chapter of House Marks Radio and the Mr. Fix-It Show, which will start next week at 6 a.m. 877-2134-LOU is our number. This is Mike, who's in Huntley. Mike, good morning.
Good morning, Lou. Hey, I got a couple questions for you, if you don't mind.
Yes, sir.
So, I just had to put a new front door in. The other one was falling apart. It's a 36-inch door with a couple side lights on it.
Okay.
It's on a masonry house with a limestone sill. I have a gap on one side. I've got it shimmed under the mullions. I've got a strong quarter inch. And, of course, I'm getting flex under the threshold. What can I put this time of year? It'd been nice to raise the sill, but that's not going to happen this week. And the door is in.
The gap, so you've got some flex under the sill, meaning that when you step on it, you're getting some flex?
Yes.
Okay. And this gap, is it possible for you to put more shims to get rid of the flex first? Because we have to do that first.
Yeah, I just... fill up the whole area under the threshold?
Well, not. This is what I want you to do. I want you to get a package of synthetic shims, not wood, since this is going to be outside and it's going to get a bunch of weather. And where you have that gap, you know, what's important with shims is you can't just come from one side. You got to come from both sides. Can you get at it from the inside?
You know, it seems like the sill, the limestones have settled. The inside is sitting flat.
The limestone set.
So where it sits on framing, it seems tight. Yeah.
Well, when you step on the sill, it's moving.
It does, and I have to move an appliance out on a dolly, and I know I'll bend it right now if I do.
Now, okay, when we talk about the what's moving, you're talking about the extension, the aluminum that's on the outside of it?
That's correct.
Okay.
Right. Not the actual adjustable sill.
Not the adjustable sill. Okay. So with that, okay. Well, if you're going to remove if you're going to bring an appliance out of that, you need to put something over the top of that so you don't damage it. Even if it was set, you could bend it depending on what you're doing. So maybe a piece of Luon or a piece of Masonite that you can put over the sill so that it covers it, and then you wheel your dolly over the top of that. That's a whole separate issue. Now, on that sill, if that's the aluminum part is there, let's get some shims, synthetic shims, just to support it temporarily, you know, and then cut it with a utility knife so that they're, you know, they're not sticking out. If we get a temperature above, 40 degrees or 45 degrees for a day, if that comes up. Go out and buy. Where are you, Mike and Huntley? Okay, go find a a supplier of a caulking called NPC Nancy Paul Cat NPC Solar Seal. That aluminum is like is like a silver color, right?
It's actually dark. It's an oil bronze or something like that.
So they make that in a brown, and you're going to buy a tube of that and leave it in the house. So it gets to 75 degrees, and it's always ready to go. Then those shims are installed, right? And everything's fine. It's, I got this. And if you can oppose those shims from the outside, like where that gap is, and you can kind of come in at an angle so that, you know, you raise it up consistently and then cut it with a utility knife, then on that day that I get 40 degrees, clean off that limestone and put a nice solid bead of this NPC solar seal, which is a Terra polymer, so you can go a little thicker. You don't tool this caulking. So you got to cut the caulk tube, and you got to be on the money to get this on.
Okay.
So that's why it's got to be warm, because if it's cold, it doesn't flow. And you're going to fill that gap, and you're going to pull that caulk tube, and you're going to get a nice, even bead, and then you're going to walk away. And then hopefully it'll set up for you, you know, if you can do it in the morning, and it stays above the 40s for the day, and even if it gets a little sunlight, that'd be helpful too. But that'll fill that gap and should, you know, have it all finished and keep the draft from coming in and whatnot.
Gotcha. A spray foam or something like that? You don't think it would hold up underneath that?
Not at all. Not at all.
Okay.
No. You had a second question?
I do. Thank you. Brick front house, the windows, large casements, 5 foot by 5 foot, were put in before the brick. I need to replace the windows. Do I have to frame that in smaller?
Not necessarily. So, they were put in, and then you have a brick facade. So there's a nailing flange that's on the outside, and then they bricked up to it. You're going to have these windows replaced?
Yeah, I can put windows in. But I can't put flanges back in there behind the brick.
No. So what I would do is, okay, so I work with the Gilkey folks, right? Gilkey can come in and Gilkey can come in and measure those windows, and you're going to want a complete replacement. So they're going to cut those out, the flange will stay, and they're going to build a window that fits that opening, and they're going to screw into the side of the framing to anchor these windows. And then they'll put some kind of brick mold on the outside that they'll either wrap in vinyl or wrap in aluminum, rather, or they may build a window that has that already set up. And that'll finish all off, and you'll have to retrim the inside. So, I mean, the other aspect of it is you could do a replacement window, but then everything gets smaller, and it doesn't sound like you want that. So I would have them do a complete tear out. But when they build these windows, because they build them to size, they'll take that framing measurement. They'll probably, in order to do this right, they'll end up taking the interior trim off so they can measure everything and then possibly put that trim back on temporarily while the windows get built for you. But then they can come back, put that all in, connect it, and you're good to go.
Gotcha. Thank you so much.
You're a good man. I appreciate you calling. Happy New Year to you. Our phone number is 877-213-4LOU, 877-213-4568. We'll take a quick break and be back right after this.
He's smooth.
Well, you know, I'm shy. I don't like to talk.
He's got a way with his words.
When you open it back up again, that hot, moist air may bring it back again.
Ugh, not that one. He's Lou Manfredini.
It's like those favorite pair of jeans that you put on and they feel right until after you eat too much and you're like, these are not my favorite jeans anymore.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
But I'm saying it better.
Now back to House Smarts Radio.
Fly me to the moon.
Yeah, let put in a pandemic and the holidays and
let
overeating.
Me see. What spring is like on
Seattle Sutton, you're my savior. And Mars. Although I did make homemade pizza last night, it was delicious. 877-213-4LOU. 877-213-4568.
Baby,
this is Bonnie, who's in Naperville. Hey, Bonnie.
Hi, Lou, and thank you. I'd like to know, with the ceiling fan flipping the switch, I don't see anything on the ceiling fan that would allow me to do that. So is that something I can do? And also with regards to the heating system, I'm talking about a forced air heating system covering some of the vents in some of the rooms to make the area where I really live warmer. Am I doing myself, is that dangerous? And I'm thinking about covering those spaces even with heavy plastic if it isn't dangerous. So I need to know.
Well, it's not dangerous, but it's not, you need the system, let me back up on the whole covering the vents. So you've got, bedrooms that you don't use that much, right? Or something like that?
Right.
Okay.
Yes.
When you're in those bedrooms, you know how you have the vents where the heating and the cooling come out, but do you also notice in the bedroom, do you have a cold air return that brings the air back?
Yes. No.
You're certain?
Well, I'm not certain, but I know.
Okay, the reason I bring that up is the fact that The way a forced air system works is that it circulates the air, right? It brings, it warms the air, it delivers the air to the room, and then return a vent, and typically there's, they have them in bedrooms, and it brings that air in. If I don't, if that air in that room is really cold, well, then I'm bringing that cold air back through the furnace, and I'm causing the furnace to work even harder to heat it up. So if you want to try and balance the heating out, you can close some of those vents 50%, but not anything more than that. Now, the rooms won't be as warm as the rest, but it won't be so cold that it could cause issues for you down the line where your system actually runs longer for you to be comfortable in your home. As it pertains to your ceiling fan, does the ceiling fan have a light or no?
Yes, it does.
It does. Okay. And does the light, is it like a lens that you kind of can't see when you look up at it? That switch is above that light fixture. And it's probably on a little metal housing, and it's a little, typically a dark color, black or brown, and you flip the switch to reverse the blades. And so you may have to get up on a ladder, Bonnie, to be able to see this. And you just feel it with your fingers and just switch it, and then it reverses. And then the idea behind it reversing is the fact that then it will avoid you feeling a draft as it's blowing down at you, and it'll take that air and circulate it. And I can't stress enough how using these ceiling fans this time of year can really make a huge difference, because the warm air, especially on a day like today where it's so cold and the furnace is running like crazy, you'll notice when you go to the second floor, it's so much warmer. And if we circulate that air and reintroduce it to the lower part of the house, the furnace will actually run less. And more importantly, you'll be more comfortable than you are right now. So it really does make a huge difference. 877-213-4LU is our phone number. Thanks so much for the phone call. This is Scott, who's in Brookfield. Scott, good morning.
Good morning, Lou. Merry Christmas.
You too, sir. How may I help you?
Okay, so I just purchased a home in Tennessee, and I'm going to be renovating the bathroom. I have two of them, but I'm going to be doing a bunch of tile work. And I've talked to a few people, and some people back butter the tile and some people don't. And I was wondering what kind of thoughts you had on that.
Well, I mean, back buttering the tile, if it's a smaller area, like if you're doing a splash, that for people that don't know, that refers to the mortar or the thin-set mortar or the adhesive you're using with a notch trowel, where you'll use that on the back of the tile and you draw it so you've got little grooves on it and you stick it on the wall. That works for small areas just because it's more time-consuming and, you know, you don't want to make a huge mess. But if you're doing a whole bathroom, I mean, if I was a tile setter, I would just do the whole, you know, a large section and put my tile up. It's just going to make life a lot easier. There's no real difference in the overall finished product, in my opinion. It's just a question of, you know, personal preference. And quite frankly, if you're doing a bathroom, it would be faster if you just buttered the wall, or you put the thin set mortar or the adhesive on the wall and then pop your tile on. Are you doing anything special with the tile, or is it, you know, is it just a, you know, 4x4, 6x6 tile?
Yeah, that's all. But I didn't know if I did not back butter the tile, if it would stick the same if you did butter it or if you did not.
No. Here's the thing. You don't, you know, the whole idea is you don't want to have too much adhesive on there, because if you have too much adhesive, then you get an uneven wall.
It oozes out,
but then you get an uneven wall, which is not what you want. So you don't need to back butter the tile. If you get a tile setter that knows what they're doing, you do not need to do any back buttering. You just need to get it put on there with the proper size trowel, and then you can go from there. 877-2134-LOU. This is Doreen in Naperville. Hi, Doreen.
Hello. How are you?
I'm doing great. What's going on today?
Well, I have a long-standing question. I have a house with an exterior, which is a reclaimed Chicago street brick, And at various times, I've had people tell me to seal the brick, and then I've had other people say, you should never seal the brick because the brick has to breathe. And I'm wondering, I've had some issues with seepage that has been determined to be above ground, and I've had some issues with mold, partially due to a raccoon chewing a hole in my roof, but I've had some other moisture issues pop up, and I had someone tell me to seal, well, I've had several people tell me to seal the brick at various different times. So what is your opinion? Is it a good idea to seal the brick or not to seal the brick?
Your home is a frame home, and this is a brick facade?
Yes, it's a brick exterior.
It's a brick exterior, but the home itself is a framed home?
Mm-hmm, yes.
And was this, I'm just trying to understand the this, you had this work done, and like, was it a room addition or something, and then they built the walls and everything, and then they put this brick facade over the top of that?
No, it was a new construction, about 14 years old.
So it was new construction. And so if it was 14 years old, they probably put some sort of water guard behind that brick. Do you have any, like, do we have the original plans on this? Because the reason the brick ceiling with an old reclaimed brick, like if it's an old Chicago brick, which is super porous, okay, there is truth to it breathing. And if we seal it on the outside, it will probably help water from penetrating from the exterior surface, but if water gets in from behind it, now I can't allow that. I can't get the water out of there. I'm curious about the water management that was put behind that. If it was new construction, it was a frame building, there was Tyvek. A lot of times
there was Tyvek.
So water can't infiltrate there. At the bottom, where that brick sits on top of the foundation wall, there should be weep holes in the mortar joints. And if there are not holes, there should be little pieces of rope that stick out of there. And, and that should allow the water to come out and, you know, definitely wick through that rope. And then dry out.
Okay.
So in your case, new construction, based on what the city of Chicago would have required for all this, my recommendation is you do not seal the brick, but you do want to make sure that the mortar joints and everything is in good repair. If there's gaps, if there are gaps in the mortar joints where water can get in there, that can be problematic. And so more of a function of making sure that the tuck pointing is in good repair as opposed to sealing the brick based on the setting that you have inside.
Okay. I've had some issues with mold in the walls, and I had a raccoon chew a hole in my roof, but there were some areas that they thought were not from that, and I had a chimney guy come out and say he would seal the chimney bricks, but I have also had people say, as you're saying, you know, the brick has to breathe. And I did have a masonry engineer who did a test on the brick and said it was extremely dense and, not apt to have moisture coming through.
Not as poor. Right. So, I mean, again, you're saying Chicago brick, that's a, you know, that is a kind of a big wide swath of a brush, and that can vary. I mean, I can show you Chicago brick that I could take in my hands and break over my knee because it's so porous.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, if you have something that's a little bit more dense, as you mentioned, I would not do it. I would just maintain the tuck point and make sure those weep holes are in place and that it can drain properly to get that moisture out. We got some texts about the ceiling fans. It's funny that you got to remember that, when you're listening, people hear this thing. So ceiling fans, they don't all turn the same way. Typically, though, most, when you're looking up at the fan and they're turning counterclockwise, it's blowing down on top of you. The reason, I guess this is it. The fan can turn any way you want it to turn to circulate the air. But when it's cold out, the last thing you want to do is feel the fan blowing on top of you. So if you switch the direction, which typically is clockwise, again, not all fans turn the same way, but you want it to pull the air up through the center, and then hit the ceiling and then cascade down the walls so you don't feel that draft. In the summertime when it's hot, you want to feel that draft, or, you know, that breeze, rather. It's funny, right? In the summer it's called a breeze, and in the winter it's called a draft. So it's that's the question about which way it should flow so that you're comfortable. And again, it really doesn't matter which way it turns because we're just trying to circulate that air. It'll make a world of difference to keep you comfortable inside your home. All right, our phone number is 877-2134-LOOP. By the way, that phone number will continue to work past 10 o'clock. So if you still need some questions answered, I'm on out in California afterwards, and we're happy to take your calls there as well. So, you know, just keep calling us after 10 o'clock and this morning, and Lindsay will pick up as well. But right now we need to take a quick break, and we'll be back right after this.
Good morning. You've got your radio tuned in to Lou Manfredini. Now back to your host right here on House Smarts Radio.
I don't need a whole lot of money. I don't need a big
Oh, we are going to kiss 2020 goodbye. 877-213-4-LOU. 877-213-4568 is our phone number. Just a couple minutes left. Let's talk to Patty, who's in Niles. Hey, Patty.
Hi.
How are you?
Good morning. I'm okay. How are you?
I am doing great. How may I help you this morning?
Oh, it's nice to talk to you. I just want to ask you about low-cost heating and, like, saving money ideas.
Okay, how do you heat and cool your home currently, Patty?
Well, I'm in an apartment, so I have the drafty windows.
You have the drafty windows, okay. And so that is the number one way that you can be more comfortable in your home is to eliminate those drafts. And you have several choices when it comes to doing this. One is certainly you can buy the window film. And you can place it over the top of these windows with a double-sided tape, and you use a hair dryer to kind of tighten up the plastic so you don't really see it. You know, depending on the window treatments, the one thing that's kind of, you know, dicey about all this is that if you've got mini blinds and you put it on over the mini blinds, you can't really change the, you know, so you got to worry about that. If that's the case for you, then you've got removable caulking that you can put on there. There's one called Peel Away, and the other one's called Zip Strip. And,
I never heard of that.
They're clear caulking that you can buy with a, you apply with a caulk tube, and then in the springtime you can just peel it away, and that will seal the gaps. And it'll basically, the window will function just like it normally does with your window treatments. But when you do go to want to open that window, if you get some fresh air, you're going to have to peel that away. There's also something called clay caulking rope that's been around forever. Comes in a roll, and you peel it away like spaghetti, and you stick it in the gaps, and it's just clay, and it comes in like a white and a gray depending on the windows, and that can fill the gaps, and you just you know, cut it and shape it and put it wherever you want, and does a really nice job. That by eliminating the drafts will be a huge saver for you.
Money saver.
When,
yeah.
When you when in this apartment, do you have your own furnace that, that you pay for the heating and cooling?
No.
No. So the
I just want it warmer than
it is.
Because I have my couch. I have a small living room.
Right.
And a.
Right. So by eliminating those drafts, if you're looking for ways to be more comfortable, my for you, I would do the clay caulking rope because it's very inexpensive. It is easy to install and will have a dramatic effect on your overall comfort inside the home, and it should help to warm up the place pretty well. And if it's forced air heating, if you've got vents, make sure that the furniture is not covering those vents, because that can cause the system not to run as often as well. And if there's radiators, don't have furniture up against there. Keep those open so that the radiators can do their job to keep you nice and warm. Thanks so much for the phone call. By the way, our last caller this morning, we're going to send him out a House Smarts radio hat sponsored by my friends over at Cobblestone Remodeling, Chicagoland's premier design-build company for kitchens, baths, additions, siding, and windows. Working remotely, don't have enough room? Let Cobblestone Remodeling create the ideal workspace for your home. Visit cobblestoneremodeling.com or call 773-661-0606. Our last call on this show today is Lori, who's in Morris. Hi, Lori.
Hey, Lou. I'll be quick.
All right.
I know we're coming to the end.
You got it.
We moved into a house about 8 years ago. It has a fireplace that I believe at first was a wood burning for a year, and then they went to a gas insert. We're going to be refacing it. It's got a tile around it. But my question is, terrible draft coming from the bottom that's freezing cold. And I didn't know if there was something we needed to check or do, since we are going to be kind of refacing it. Mm-hmm. And, does that draft come from?
Yeah. So with that firebox, if it's a masonry firebox, see if there's a little door on the base of that firebox that's got an ash pit door where you can put ashes down in there. Because there could be a big hole in the bottom of that where people put ashes after a fire. And that draft could be coming from underneath there. There could be either gaps in the masonry that could be come from the outside. Do you have a basement in the home?
Yes, but it would be finished.
Right, so you can't see any of that. So, I mean, there could be...
No, it is in the corner. The fireplace is in the corner of the room.
Okay.
If that isn't the case, what else, could it be?
It could be on the outside of the home. Pay attention to the brick on the chimney to make sure that all those gaps are tight. So if it's a corner chimney, and is the rest of the house masonry or is it tile? Or is it siding?
No, it's an all-brick home.
Okay.
All-brick.
So pay very close attention to the mortar joints on the outside where this chimney is in relationship to the rest of the house. If there's like a quarter-inch mm-hmm. gap there where wind can come in, it can just channel through mm-hmm. that brick all day long. When you go to reface all this, if you're going to... Are you going to turn it into a gas fireplace? Or
it is a gas.
So you're going to leave it as gas.
It is a gas.
Okay. So when you go to reface that, take a look at the fire brick that's on the floor of the fireplace. Make sure that all that mortar joint's in good shape. If there's any cracked fire brick, those may need to be replaced. If you're going to end up putting new doors on there, well, then you can get custom doors or door that fits that opening that seals it really well. And they do make like a what they call a fire coking that can go around the door to seal any drafts out there so that when you're running the gas fireplace, you can keep the doors closed and get the beauty of the fireplace, but it can get its combustion air from someone else. Remember, fireplaces are awesome, but they're a great way to cool a space because it uses the warm air to make the fire. And so that's problematic.
Yeah, I'm looking at it. It's a heat-a-lator.
Yeah, so it's a metal box. So the metal box means you're getting wind coming from the outside in that metal box. Don't cover up any of that venting because that'll be problematic for you. Thanks so much for calling. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Have a wonderful weekend. We'll be back next Saturday starting at 6 a.m. for House Smarts Radio. Have a great weekend.